97.5, The Fanatic.
801-97-5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. As we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Josh Rabick is producing the show, talking Flyers and Sixers. Sixers taking over, even though the Flyers with a big win yesterday against the Montreal Canadiens in game number one. Before we get to Tyler and Lee and Manny and Bilal and Aaron, we do want to give you the schedule, which is out now for the first round of the playoffs that will get underway starting next week. And so the Sixers right now, who will play the Boston Celtics, as we've been talking about, and we'll get to everyone on this, is they will start off on Monday at 6:30. And, of course, they are the away team. Followed up game two Wednesday, 6:30. Also the road team for the Philadelphia 76ers. They then return home, if you will, inside the bubble as the home team on Friday, where they will play Friday also at 6:30 for the Philadelphia 76ers. So right away, the 76ers, if this is all correct, they will play the first three games 6:30 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, 1 o'clock. And they 5, 6, and 7 are to be determined based on the outcome, of course, of the first four games to see if they have to extend it past those four games. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6:30, Sunday, an afternoon game, 1 o'clock, Philadelphia takes on Boston. And all of that, of course, will be right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. So there you have it with the schedules. If these are correct, that's where we are. So I'm looking at that one. You've seen these as well? Yeah, the schedules? Okay, you got them as well. So, yeah, here they are, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Game one, they will be the third game. Utah, Denver, Brooklyn, Toronto, Philadelphia, Boston. That's, they're all ESPN games on Monday. So we'll go in the post Monday after the game and see where the 76ers are as they get started. So we'll be on after the game, going in the post. Game one, Sixers, Celtics, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. The play-in winner, we still do not yet have the finals in the West, only because the Memphis Grizzlies, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks today to land a spot in the play-in game in the Western Conference. The Phoenix Suns defeated the Dallas Mavericks. They improved to 8-0, the only undefeated team in the bubble. The crazy part about that is they still have to rely on the final game tonight, which is the Brooklyn Nets and the Portland Trail Blazers. If the Portland Trail Blazers win, they are in and will take on the Memphis Grizzlies in that 8-9 matchup, and the Phoenix Suns will be out. If Portland loses, I believe, then right away the Phoenix Suns are in. They will play the Memphis Grizzlies for that final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And I also believe that if the Blazers win, let's say the Blazers win tonight, which I hope they do not, and they play the Memphis Grizzlies, the Blazers only have to win one game, where I believe the Grizzlies have to win two over the Blazers. It's something like, I have to look at that again, but that's tonight is a big game for the Portland Trail Blazers and the Brooklyn Nets. Go Nets. Yes, go Nets. So there you have it. Sixers, Monday, 6:30, game one, Celtics right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. We'll continue the Flyers calls as well. After the win yesterday against the Montreal Canadiens, they needed everything from Carter Hart. Their defense as well. They found a way to get it done. based on how they won yesterday, does it increase your confidence or make you a little bit worried with how things went yesterday? Nothing changed for me. They're still the top team in the East that I believe will win this series in five or six games over the Canadiens. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Tyler in Jersey next on a Fnac. What's up, Ty?
What's going on, Devon? I feel like every 90 days, man, I've got to call into this show in defense of Ben Simmons, and I do understand people's frustrations with him and get it. I have the same issues at times myself. I understand he's not a shooter. He's not a type A personality and has yet to show the leadership qualities you want out of, you know, the guy on a team. But with that being said, he's, if not the best defender in the league, he's right up there with the eventual back-to-back MVP. In terms of as a, not just as a, what's the word? An offense, this game, whether or not he can step out and shoot for himself, the kid in transition is a nightmare as a screener, as a pick and roller for a point guard. He is a bruiser. He is absolutely just, his skill set is so multifaceted. It is so deep that it kills me when I hear people complaining about the fact that he's not, essentially, that he's not Giannis, that he's not the best player in the NBA. And what hurts the most is seeing this team in Philadelphia, the team around him. And, you know, I love JoJo, and I've always had a soft spot for Tobias, but it's not a team that is built to optimize his skill set at all. It's, you've got a bunch of not even jump shooters, but mid-range shooters. In my opinion, you've got lower athleticism guys, and you have a banger down low who needs the ball and needs time to work to get his shot. And none of that really accentuates what Ben Simmons does best, which is run and dish and make those split decisions where if you choose wrong, he's going to fly past you and either yam it on you or dish it out to the corner and get an open shot. So I always got to call in when I hear people coming after Ben, because it's more to the game than just putting up 25 a night. And the other things, in the details, Ben Simmons is a exceptional, if not generational, talent. That's all I got to say, man.
All right, Ty. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Generational, I always, as much as I respect him and enjoy his game, even though he frustrates me a lot, I stay away from those types of things right now. I need to see more for me to say that. You can see the talent level, but there are... even as a fan, there are too many flaws where I push back on some of that and say I need to see a little bit more before I give that. But you can see things there. There are plenty of things there to like. And he is very frustrating offensively. I agree with Tyler there. We would like to see more because that stuff just seems really easy, right? We're like, come on, this is really simple. Shoot the ball. And we think it's a thing in his head and all of that. I mean, come on. You know, come on. Let's shoot the basketball. That being said, the guy's a good, very good basketball player. He's not a top 30 basketball player in this league by accident. He's good. Can he be better? Can he improve? 100%. Absolutely he can improve. Absolutely. I want to see him with another coach to see if things work. 610-632-0975. What's up, Lee? What's going on?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? I had to call, man. I had to call. People get to cutting up on Ben Simmons. Now, I'm going to start off with a little caveat, right? Like, I understand what Ben Simmons doesn't do. It seems like such an elementary part of the game.
Yes.
Like, to most people, you just, like, it's hard to fathom a player who does not want to, you know, score. Who, you know, I mean, it's like playing baseball as a kid and not wanting to bat. Like, nobody really wanted to pitch.
Yeah, I just want to pitch and catch. I don't want to hit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hit. Like, screw all that. But when you really break it down from a basketball standpoint, and your last caller was pretty, you know, pretty accurate, and most of what he said, from a basketball standpoint, this dude's ability is elite in every aspect of the game. Like,
let's talk about that, because I push back to Tyler Zuli with some of the elite stuff that he says. So what do you feel? I feel like his defense is elite. I think his vision is elite. His transition is elite. But there's still some other things that are not at that level.
I think, like you said, his passing is elite. I think, you know, you can
argue. Vision, not passing. Vision.
Oh, you question passing ability?
No, I like his passing ability. I don't think it's elite yet because I see too many mistakes.
Okay, I would say that he's probably a guy that takes a few more chances.
Okay.
And
confidence.
So
that's where you're overconfident sometimes with your. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, looking at turnovers and stuff like that, everybody that passes the ball a lot going to have a lot of those. And, you know, LeBron makes poor passes often in games, often. You know, probably twice, 2-3 times a game. You know what I mean? But I think when other stuff that you talk about elite, like his vision's elite, right? We just talked about his ball handling, like especially at his size, it's unheard of. Like, I mean, he don't have the repertoire to be able to pull up, step back, and pull up on you, right? Because he doesn't have a shooting ability, but he has the handle to get there. So to me, when I look at his game, I look at it, even his IQ. Like, I know he makes dumb that backwards pass thing that he does. But that's just dumb throughout the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, if you watch the Raptors game the other day, our boy from Chester did it, you know, and made a three, and Stan Van Gundy made a joke about it. Like, all right, now, you know, or Mark Jackson. Like, all right, now, you guys are, you know, it's a bit much on the kickback. But that's just a part of the NBA. I think for this game that exists today, Ben Simmons is elite in every aspect, and I think he has a skill set that fits this game, you know, at a level as high as some of the best players and the top guys in the league. I think if he can click on that jump shot or that willingness, it changes everything. And I'm not willing to give that up. You know what I mean? And quite honestly, like, I don't even care about the field goal percentage. I heard guys talking about Devin Booker, right? Devin Booker, everyone would think of him as his elite three-point shooter. Like, Devin Booker hasn't shot better than 36% from three his whole entire career. You know what I mean? Like, the percentages I don't care about for Ben. I just think once he starts being aggressive, like you said, and he gets a team that's built around him, if Ben gets a team built around him where he's the number one option, we won't even be having this conversation.
Well, he's not going to have that because Embiid and Simmons, they're not breaking up.
But we need a coach that knows how to drive.
And that's where I am. For that to unlock, it has to be from the coach. Yep.
But Devon, would you agree with me? If he was the number one option, like, you put him on Phoenix. And Phoenix scripts everything and builds a team around Ben where he's the number one option. The offense goes to him, not just in transition, but also in the half court. Come on, man. You mean to tell me just off of not, even if he never shoots a jump shot, he still wouldn't average, you know, 20, 21, 22 points a game? Like, this guy's all around the NBA. Is doing
he's already averaging 17.
Exactly.
And you know me, I'm always like, I need the free throws to go up, and that'll give him more points
there. But he can't, and in this offense, Devon, at times, he's like the fourth option in the half court. Like, in the half court, at times, he's not even an option because JoJo needs to operate. But if you put him on a team where he's the option, oh, it's over. Like, it's over. We'd be talking about Ben in a whole nother light because he would be the focal point, and that's different than what he is right now.
Well, let's see if it changes, man, if the coach is changed and moved on and they bring in someone else.
We can only hope.
Well, we'll find out. We will find out, Lee. Thanks for the call, man. We'll check in as the series starts to get underway. 610-632-0975. My name is Devon Givens. I'm with you until 10 o'clock. Josh Rabig is producing the show. 610-632-0975. The crazy part, as we get ready to talk to Bilal and Aaron and Josh, and actually we have three open phone lines. We've been full since we started at 7 o'clock after Cousins Corner, and we've been full. Great conversation with the Flyers. Sixers have taken over. The playoff schedule is now out, where they will play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6:30 in games 1, 2, and 3. All right here, of course, on the Fanatic, the Sixers home of the radio network. And Sunday, 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon against the Boston Celtics for game 4. Games 5, 6, and 7, they are to be determined based on the results of game 1 through 4, of course, to see if things are extended past 4. And hey, guys are going to have to come up big in order for them to win. Some people are still confident that they can beat the Boston Celtics. I am not one of them, to be honest with you. And we will get into all of that as we go along. But in general, we didn't even mention Ben Simmons. And here we are. The phones have been on fire with Ben. I think it was, wasn't it Jamar that wanted to talk about Ben Simmons? We didn't even mention Ben Simmons. But Mara wanted to get into Ben Simmons, and here we are. Let's go to Bilal in Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, Bilal?
Hey, Bob, what's going on?
What's happening, my man?
Ain't much. I mean, I'm like the rest of the people. If they don't like Ben Simmons, it's just they don't like his game because he just won't shoot. But just imagine what Magic would have looked like if Cooper and Robert Scott and them couldn't hit a J. Like, he'd have stunk too. He's a person that likes, he's a point guard because he gives the ball up first. The biggest problem I had with him that he's 6'10 and he jumps the paint. And it happens often.
Drives you crazy, like, right? Doesn't it, Bilal? Yeah, that's an unforced error.
Yeah, it's like, why are you jumping? Who tipping your pants? Like,
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? That's my only problem with him. If you're getting some guys, my worst fear was them not signing Jimmy. And it shows that was the problem. He was the one with scores in the fourth quarter. When you need half-court offense, you can kick it to Jim. They say nothing to Josh Richardson. Josh is stinking it up. He had 34 the other night, but damn. Like, and then when they need a defense. Like, can somebody tell me what do they do well? Like, what do they do? Like, you don't know what to expect from the Sixers. I mean, besides Embiid, whatever he going to do, he can add 40-something, but we don't have no identity. And that's the coach's fault. We have no identity.
Yes.
I don't think he knows who he's going to play in the playoffs.
Right, with the rotation and all, now that Ben is down and still trying to figure out some of the other pieces.
Ben was playing, I don't think.
You know? Yeah, I hear you. Right, because he still had this infatuation with Neto when Burks was playing better. And once he was forced to put Burks out there and play because he was doing so well. So
exactly.
I hear where you're going with that, Bilal. And listen, if it's an early exit, first round knockout by the Boston Celtics, then we know what's going to happen. And we at least believe what's going to happen. We're all 99.9% sure that that's going to be the thing that happens. And we'll see if they can make some changes and improve Simmons' game and Embiid's game together as well.
He needs a point guard coach. He needs one of these former point guard coaches. I'll take Tyler. He needs somebody that ran the point that can show help him through this. That's what he needs.
And the crazy thing is, you know, sometimes it's not about the level of where you played. Brett Brown was a point guard when he played all the way through college.
See, but I'm quite sure he was the shooter. So he don't
actually
understand.
Actually, I asked him one time, Bilal, I said, on your team right now, who would be you in this game? And this was two summers ago or last summer when we were doing a podcast. And he said T.J. McConnell. So he was more of a T.J. McConnell point guard, a non-shooter. And that's so he was a guy who ran the team.
I don't understand. And then that's the thing. How TJ was on that bench calling his plays, like, that don't make no sense. Like, I was disgusted. I'm like, come on, man. You ain't got nothing in your arsenal. You can't say
anything. I know. Hey, Bilal, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you soon. See, hey, well, hopefully we're talking to you soon. We'll see what's going on with the results of all. And we see what's happening in general. 610-632-0975. Aaron and Drexel Hill. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, Divine?
My man, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Listen, when it's all said and done, we're more talented than the Boston Celtics, but are we better coached? And that's just going to be the thing.
Are you more talented?
From top to bottom, I would say, yeah. I mean, of course, their starting lineup looks good because they got three really good wing players, or we would say four.
And an all-star point guard, yeah.
Yeah, four really good wing players with the all-star point guard. But, you know what I mean, from our starting lineup, and then to our bench step, I think we, talent-wise, we should be able to beat them. But like I said, it's going to go back to coaching. And it would have been the same thing if Ben was on the floor anyway. We would have had the talent, but we had the coaching to make it happen.
Don't forget about Marcus Smart.
I'm not forgetting about Marcus Smart, but I'll put Marcus Smart up towards our Matisse and our Burks. I'll put that up to that, to say the least. But when it's all done, then, like I said, it's going to come down to coaching. So for me, all I'm looking for is the series to be over, which it will be, because Brett's going to get out coach, and I need him going. And I need the last call I just talked about, maybe a point guard type of coach, like a Jay Kidd or Mark Jackson that can come in and teach Ben how to do the job correctly, or somebody who's really good with schemes. Like, I know he got fired from two places, but each time he was doing well before he got fired. Somebody like a Dave Yeager. I didn't mind him when he, especially when he was in Sacramento. I thought his offensive sets were pretty good. But that's it, man, Devon. That's all. I just need Brett out, and I need us to get a new coach in, because like you, I can't probably evaluate Ben and Joel until Brett is gone. All the haters, all the stuff that people say, I hear it, but it's hard when you see a coach leave his point guard out to dry. Just tell him to go stand in the corner and all the action is on the other side.
All right, man. Listen, I hear you, and we will find out starting Monday. This is going to be a big coaching job for Brett Brown without Ben Simmons, knowing that he doesn't have him at all for the entire postseason. Aaron, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Josh, Rob, Ed, three open phone lines. They filled up. We take the phone calls. Now they are open if you want to check in. We'll have some Phillies news as well with who will be starting tomorrow on the mound for the baseball team. They are currently still in action against the Baltimore Orioles, and they just continue to, you know, just frustrate overall with where they are. They are the Philadelphia Phillies. But hopefully this is some news that people will like going forward. Will it change much? Don't know. But it's now 6-2 Baltimore in the top of the eighth. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic 830 97.5 The Fanatic
610-632-0975. We'll give you the Phillies news as we go along. Phillies making a move that I'm sure a lot of people will like, even though they stink and they're not a good baseball team. This will make some people happy just to see where things go from here. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is behind the glass producing the show, talking Flyers and a lot of Sixers. I'm actually surprised this many people wanted to talk basketball, but we're here for it, and we will not deny those phone calls, Phillies included, once the game comes to an end in South Philadelphia against the Baltimore Orioles. Let's go to Josh and Kasha Hocken next on the Fanatic. Josh, what's going on?
Devon, how are you, my friend? My favorite guy on the Fanatic.
How are you, Josh? Thank you, man.
I'm doing all right. Last time I talked to you was right after we got Alec Burks, and I was telling you how he had to be in the starting lineup. So I think he did all right in the bubble. No one saw that coming. But let me ask you a question that's somewhat rhetorical. What was the point of the process?
The process, you said?
Yes, the process.
To tear things down, to have a shot at landing some top-level talent and rebuilding through the draft, and then, of course, using assets to help you out in other ways as well via trade and things of that nature.
Exactly. So to get us out of the position that we have found ourselves right back in about 5 years, to be
You're
on
not
the bottom,
kidding.
Yeah, to be in the bottom seed of the playoffs with people that we have max contracts who are good players, decent players, but might be a little bit overpaid, and to be kind of stuck at that bottom rung of the playoffs with a very high likelihood of being out in the first round. I don't think we're necessarily stuck in that position forever, but as a huge Sixers guy my whole life, that's probably the most frustrating thing for me to watch is
yes.
Like, huh, you know, we tore this whole thing down just to get right back where we started. I mean, you can kind of, I don't remember exactly what kind of money Iguodala was making when we got rid of him, but he was probably our best player. He was a great player, but he was not going to take us to a championship. So we decided to start moving pieces and try to get different people in here.
Yes.
But my biggest frustration watching this team, and there's no shortage of them, is really for me to just look at it and go, man, we really tried to do something different just to get ourselves right back in the same exact position that we started.
Yeah, and I've thought that, and Josh, as you know, conversations that we've had, and you just listening in general, you know, I was never a fan of the rebuild, understood it, just didn't like how it went down. But you're right, it does seem like at least this year, where we expected them to be somewhere else, they are now in a position to be right back in that six seed where you didn't want to be, 6, 7, 8. And while they are not as bad as really 6, 7, and 8, I don't think they're this bad, they have the look of it. And when we talked about why do the Flyers now have the look and the Sixers no longer have the look that we thought that they had, you know, this is part of it, because now they look like they are, at least for right now, a six seed in the Eastern Conference and nothing better.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said, that doesn't necessarily have to stay if you make a couple of roster moves, maybe change your coach, maybe things could be a little bit better. But, you know, it's a frustration, because I really, when I look at it, I think, you know, 5, 10 years from now, when this, you know, when we're kind of in a different era, I think we really will look back and say, man, last year, that was our year. I mean, that's a,
yes,
I don't know
was.
If you're a 2K guy, but the 2019 Sixers are like a classic 2K team. I mean, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Ben, Joe. I mean, that's just it's an absolute squad. And I think just to real quick to touch on some of the, I know a lot of the other callers are talking about Ben Simmons, and I think he has so much potential, but from a basketball standpoint, it is so frustrating to watch your point guard with all the talent in the world be afraid to shoot a basic jump shot. I don't even think you would have to be a professional basketball player. I think you could take probably any professional athlete and put them with a coach, and they can knock down a 15-foot jump shot consistently. And the biggest frustration is to watch this happen, where a defense, you know, knows what's going on, frustrates them, and you have Ben who's wide open, and they're still passing the ball because Ben refuses to take that shot, and it really does cluster up the whole offense when you have a guy who won't shoot. Magic and Penny, they didn't like to shoot, but they would shoot. They would shoot the ball. So it really clogs everything up when he won't shoot.
Yeah, it's Josh, it's a thing, man, and that's why having to come on here and still defend him, but also can feel like, you know, that Josh, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk. Hopefully we're talking with some positivity instead of some negative stuff going forward. Yep, you got it, man. Thanks, man. And I mean, listen, we've all said it. It's an exhausting conversation, but it's one that, even as exhausting as it is to talk about Ben Simmons, we don't stop. We don't stop. We keep going. We keep talking about it. It's something that we continue to discuss. Because I guess it's just one of those deals of just being so puzzling of his thinking, where we know that Markelle Fultz has this mental block with whatever happened with his shoulder, and then he forgot how to shoot. Ben Simmons had the same thing, where he didn't forget it. He just has this mental block of being afraid and embarrassed to do it. And then he has this stuff, why would I do it? It's a higher percentage shot if I take it to the rim and pass the ball to... He's right. He's right. He is an unselfish point guard, which you want. But you also want to see those times when he's a point guard that you take over and use your physical ability and your skill set combined to dominate a smaller defender. And he does it sometimes, not all of the times like we think he should. And the shooting aspect comes with it. It's a simple jump shot. Everyone's not a great jump shooter. Just because he thinks he's great, which he is not, at everything out there on the floor, he is very versatile. Yes, he's not great at everything, though. He's not going to be perfect as a jump shooter, and he needs to understand that. He does. And it's okay to miss. Go get it other ways as well. Ed in Oak Lane on the Fanatic next. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing, Devon? Look, I just got two questions, and I'm an accountable fan. I want accountability, right? I'm sitting here watching the Phoenix game, and I'm saying to myself, what did we give up? What did we get from Mikal Bridges? Well, can you explain, you know, what was the logic behind all of that? When you look at what actually happened with that trade, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm a bad guy to talk to about this. Well, you got Zaire Smith in the 2021 pick, which was later turned into Tobias Harris, Mike Scott, and Boban Marjanovic. So, if you look at having a cornerstone piece of Tobias Harris going forward, you got that back. So when you're doing the rebuild and you're trying to find star players or very high-level players, if you believe Tobias Harris, some people like him, some people don't, is one of those players, that's what you got in return. And a young player in Tobias Harris that you can still try to he's only been in the league 2 years, hasn't gotten on the floor. He's still very young, still has time, but many people have given up on him already. So that's what you got, Ed.
And what do you think about, like, if the to me, I think the Sixers could be like the Flyers. If you get the right coach and you bring them in here and work with what you got and the team gels, the Sixers could be the Flyers.
Yeah, that's where everybody now is going to lean. While people will say trade Simmons or Embiid, they're also going to look at the first things first. You know you're not going to trade the star player yet. You're going to give them an opportunity to be with a different voice. And Elton Brand coming in as a general manager last year, he's going to also maybe say, look, let me bring in my own coach. Not that I had anything against Brett Brown, but I might want to have my own coach and have him put his fingerprints on everything with this team.
Do you have any suggestions who you'd like to see them at least think about?
Yeah, I do. I like Dave Yeager. I like Jeff Van Gundy. I'm not too high as many people are on Jason Kidd and Tyronn Lue. Some other people like Mark Jackson. I do not. Tom Thibodeau.
What about Johnny Dawkins?
Johnny Dawkins. Nah, if I go coach college-wise, it's probably only going to be Jay Wright at this point.
Okay.
I'm not sure about Johnny Dawkins. So yeah, those would be my names. And all these names I'm bringing up, Ed, are veteran coaches in this league who have coached stars.
So they need a veteran. They don't need a young coach. They need a veteran coach.
I don't think so. But here's my only thing with the young coach, Ed, is I think they might bring in a younger coach because the owner, Josh Harris, he's not going to want to pay two big salaries to a coach coming in and a coach going out and Brett Brown, who still has a nice number on his contract.
I honestly think Harris as a owner hurts the Sixers because if they had a better owner, like a basketball owner, some of these decisions that they made, I don't think a real basketball owner would have even let them do.
Yeah, and, you know, and I mean, hey, and the thing, of course, that hurts, as you mentioned at the top, is right now at least not knowing who Zaire Smith is in this particular case. So that also puts them in a tough spot right now with the people that you look at as young, other young players to build with Simmons and Embiid to go along with the veterans and Tobias Harris and others. You would like Matisse Thybulle to have another young running mate along with him.
Okay. Thanks, Devon. Have a good night.
You got it, Ed. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. And, you know, the Phoenix Suns today went 8-0, finishing their run in the bubble. I'm rooting for the Portland Trailblazers to lose to the Nets tonight. Highly unlikely, even though the Nets have actually played pretty well inside the bubble, minus all their star players, their key players, and a interim coach in Jacque Vaughn. But the Phoenix Suns went 8-0. Not only is it, as Ed just pointed out, with Mikal Bridges, but also seeing people in my conversation on Twitter, people sending me messages, people sending me texts, like my man on a text board, CJ sent one earlier and says, the guy who just went 8-0 at the Phoenix Suns as the head coach and Monty Williams should have been on the Sixers bench doing that for them. Also got that on Twitter. I saw that elsewhere. I saw my man Toot, the barber, say the same thing. The only thing that I would come back on with that is, do we know that he would have gotten these guys over the top? Yes, a former player in the NBA, his second stint as a head coach following his run with the Pelicans, where he did get them to the postseason. He did have a team of Chris Paul. Was it Chris Paul? Was David West on that squad? I want to say David West was on that squad. Ryan Anderson and some others got them to the playoffs, but he was let go. Since then, he's been an assistant. Would he have done that with this team and turned things around? I don't know. Because I know of players with the New Orleans Pelicans that were on that squad that didn't really like Monty Williams that much. Didn't really like Monty Williams. Now, right now, it seems like he's connected with the Phoenix Suns team, who are 8-0 in the bubble, awaiting the results of the final game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers and the Brooklyn Nets to see if they have an opportunity for the 8-9 play-in game. We'll find out. I mean, they've been fantastic inside the bubble. Devin Booker was tremendous. The rest of the supporting group, DeAndre Ayton playing well, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges playing really well these last couple of games. Actually, the entire time they've been there in Orlando with the scrimmage games and the 8 seeding games, he's played really well. And Monty Williams has coached also very well. They've won close ones. They've blown teams out. They've won in a variety of different ways. And Monty Williams is not on the bench for the 76ers. He was never really my choice. Other people seem to like him, and now that he has this 8-0 record, I mean, it helps others' causes in who they wanted on the bench for the 76ers. 610-632-0975. But hey, Brett Brown has an opportunity to, if you will, save his job based on what he does against Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics when they get underway starting Monday, game one, 6:30, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Rob in Hatboro on The Fanatic. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Devon, how are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Great to talk to you. I love your intelligence.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
My call is going to be short and mostly emotional. I don't have the facts that all the other callers have. But since Ben has come in to the league, I've never liked him. He's got to go. He just is not one of your premier players. And I know people will talk about the defense and talk about all his extra accomplishments, but he just doesn't fit. And it doesn't matter whether there's a new coach. It's just not. He's been coddled all these years. And, you know, I've only called this time, listening to you for like 2-3 years, and I'll call again in 2 years. But we're going to go on for another 2 years thinking that he's going to turn around, he's going to start shooting, and he's not.
And you have every right to believe that simply because we are now 3 years in and he has not shot double digits three-pointers for an entire season. Like, not like real shooting, not end of court, end of halves, end of quarters type of attempts, actual jump shots. So, listen, you have every right to feel that way, Rob. And at this point, I mean, I would say, hey, wait and let's see if a new coach changes things for him a little bit, someone who's a little bit harder on him because he didn't have it as much here in Philadelphia. He didn't have it at LSU. Maybe he'll have it with the new coach that comes in, because now that when that happens, you know, fingers are really being pointed at you because the coach has now lost his job, and it's essentially not just his own doing, but also the players as well. So I get where you're coming from. I still like the player. I don't go into any season, Rob, thinking he's going to shoot at this point because he's afraid to, which I don't like. I just simply ask him to finish stronger at the rim, make his free throws, and that will leave a lot of stuff. That will open up a lot of things for him and maybe have people like you feel a little more comfortable.
Well, I don't consider him an option of making more free throws, and I don't consider him ever changing his game. I mean, going back to LSU, he wouldn't even play in the NIT. So that tells you all you need to know. I didn't like him when he was drafted. And we're just going to go through another 2 or 3 years on this max contract. And we're going to be right where we are. The caller before said, yeah, we did all this just to be, you know, a 6th, 7th seed.
Yes, and that's the place, obviously, that you do not want to be, Rob. So when you look at what's about to happen, since we won't hear from you for another 2 years, Rob, thanks for listening. Where do you think things will go in this first round against the Celtics?
Oh, we're going to get booted out.
Okay.
There's no doubt. At least we have the Flyers.
And, hey, a lot to look forward to with them, right?
Thanks, Devon.
Thank you, Rob. Have a good one, man. Be safe. I hope the Sixers give you something to root for as they start the postseason on Monday, 6:30 tip-off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Man, when someone says that, I mean, how can I tell them that they're wrong in feeling the way that they feel about Ben Simmons? I can't tell them they're wrong. Never liked him. Never liked him. Has there ever been a player like this? And we're talking about a star player. He's a star player. Has there ever been a player like this? Josh, has there ever been a player in any sport like this? Donovan had support like early. And then things, after the championship games started to happen and they would lose, then people started to back away. The T.O. thing, people sided with T.O., all of that. Him opening his mouth saying weird stuff. Donovan, anybody else?
I'm trying to think. Nothing coming to mind with that.
Mike Schmidt got a lot,
especially at the tail end.
Was respected,
right? But as far as like a polarizing player that was so coveted when he came in here, and then you're at this point where you're looking at a two-time All-Star that you're saying, how do we get him out of here? I don't know.
Two-time All-Star, been on the floor for 3 years, and already you're ready to move on. I mean, sometimes you don't need a long time to really evaluate things. I get that. But look at how the balance is of, hey, let's give him a new coach and let's see what happens. It's probably more of the people in charge versus just him. Can somebody unlock him that's not a family friend and all of that? But,
And it's unique, too, because there's not many people that you go, okay, this guy could be a transcendent talent. He doesn't do this, and this is why it won't work. Like, I can't go back through Philadelphia sports history and really think of one particular example.
Yeah, I don't know. 610-632-0975. Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, D.
What's happening, man?
At least that guy was being honest, or it's just about feelings.
Right. And look, how can you change anything like that? It's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, people are calling up about Ben Simmons after not seeing him healthy in 6 months and him not playing at all, and they still want to talk about him. They're telling us more about themselves than they are about Ben Simmons. And it's, you know, my man Mar, like, that dude calls up, like, every show. He says the exact same thing all the time. I'm sorry, man, but, like, you know, whatever. It's just that I loved Stan's call. Let me transition. I loved Lee's point, like, about no back passes, and the Flyers need to take that to heart too. They need to stop it with the backwards passes in their own zone in the playoffs. Like, that's awesome to watch during the regular season. That can get you killed in a 1-2-1 playoff game. So hopefully they get their feet wet here against a team that they are outclassing, you know, and learn some of these playoff lessons the easy way instead of the hard way.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And listen, a young goaltender, and you're exactly right with the rest of them, just playing, you know, that fundamental style and going out there and doing what's done for them that's been there and have gotten them wins. Just do that and get these W's and move on.
Well, I mean, and they are winning with amazing passing and stuff, but... And also, I mean, in fairness to them, my buddy, my homie last night was like, from the second period on, he was like, this ice is terrible. They played 3 games on it. The puck's wobbling and bouncing. And there might have been a little bit to that, but it wasn't as bad as a Madison Square Garden playoff game. So,
right.
They got
right.
it done.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
And also, while we're on the subject of Flyers, speed recovery to Canadiens coach. I mean, that's horrible to hear about him or... Hopefully he's okay, but he had, like, I guess, chest pains or possibly even a heart attack. I don't know.
Right, yeah, you don't want to hear that. We want everybody to be safe, especially with everything that's going on in this country, which we've talked about before. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this year has been all about real life infringing on our sports fund.
100%. 100%.
And then just, like, real quickly back to it's pretty funny how, like, I was just kind of chuckling all winter about, like, Joe Girardi, and like people thought that he was going to pitch and hit and whatever. You know, there's only so much difference a manager can make. But then in contrast, with the Sixers, it really is all about just we need a new voice. And, you know, I hear people call in and like it'll be like the problem with the Sixers is X. Like it's just one problem and it's just one huge thing. And if we listen to that person and fix that huge problem, then we'll be all good. But to me, it's like 100 little problems, and they're all little problems are solvable. It's just you got to, you know, identify them and correct them. And you know, I think a new coach could will do that. So,
and that's the only thing that we can really lean on right now, especially with the other things with the roster, the personnel. We'll see where all that goes. The next actual choice with all the changes that have been made from Covington, the trades with the drafts, and. Butler and Reddick, and now where you are with Harris and Richardson, the next thing is, of course, going to be the head coach. It's just what it is. That's the nature of the business.
And I would love to see some cohesion just in the roster, and then figure out what you have, and then whatever doesn't fit going forward, we really should have still plenty of assets to make moves. We're not where we were at the start of the process, like, and contrary to what those callers were saying. And I love how the one guy, and also I guess the Iguodala is that's now on Hinkie now too.
It is not. He was already. Yeah, he is not.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just stickler for the facts, and it always bothers me when people try to stretch out how long the process was or whatever. But
yeah. All right, anyway. Man. Well, listen, man. We'll talk. You got it, man. Thanks so much, man. 610-632-0975. Josh, Andrew, Trina, Donna, everyone, hang on. We'll come right back. We have 25 minutes commercial free, start 9 o'clock hour off, and we will take all your phone calls, give everyone their time to talk about all of this, and we'll give the Phillies news as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10 on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.